Chapter 1. The Essence of a Disciple. Julia was completing her last quarter of seminary and applying to different pastoral positions within her denomination when she received a call to a small congregation only an hour away from her school. She was thrilled to begin pastoring this congregation that was just shy of 100 members and averaged about 70 people on a Sunday. This was an older congregation, and Julia saw lots of potential to reach its surrounding neighborhood. Shortly after she got to the church council discussed what should be her most important priorities. 4 of the 6 elders expressed the need for the church to reach younger families. They were glad that Julia and her husband were at the church, but then a member of the church council timidly raised his hand. "What good," he said, voice trembling, "is a full church when nobody is growing. We need to focus on helping people become disciples of Jesus first. Then we can figure out how to bring more people in." This man's statement caused a robust and at times heated discussion. Some members argued that the church was great at making disciples. Look at how many of their members had been at the church 30 years. Surely these were great models of what a disciple was. Other members challenged this assertion. Yes, the church had many members with longevity, but were these members really growing as disciples? As the meeting progressed, Julia reflected on her seminary experience and realized that she never gained a clear understanding of what a disciple was, let alone how to develop one. The meeting ended with the council concluding that one of the next steps would be to develop a working definition of a disciple, including some characteristics that they hoped would be produced in a disciple through the ministry of the church. One of the biggest challenges associated with developing a culture of discipleship is a lack of a clear, mutually agreed-upon understanding of a disciple of Jesus. When a church doesn't have a unified vision around the characteristics and nature of a disciple, it will likely have a challenge making disciples. As is often said, if you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time. A church can have a mission statement centered around making disciples, but if the nature of discipleship is unclear or there are competing visions of what it means to be a disciple, the church will never fulfill its mission. At the foundation of this book are 8 core principles and 21 subordinate characteristics of a disciple. These qualities and characteristics will be further unpacked and given biblical support in chapters 3 through 7, but for now, we will take a 30,000-foot view of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Our definition is based first and foremost upon the great commandment found in Matthew, chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these 2 commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Just prior to this passage, the Sadducees, a group of Jewish leaders who didn't believe in resurrection, tried to give Jesus a problematic scenario to prove that there is no resurrection.